liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
November 9th, 1989. History is made. The Berlin Wall falls. Years pass. Decades end. A new century is born. In 2021, one wall remains at Revolution Radio. The wall between Studio A, the Wisdom Circle, and Studio B, the Raw Deal. The wall falls. History is made. Wisdom Circle plus Raw Deal equals the event. James Fetzer. David Scorpio. Giuseppe Baffangolo. History is made. And now, the event.
Well, it's wonderful for us to have Russ Winter back again, except I don't see Russ as image. Have we got him, Giuseppe?
He comes in via Skype. So he sent me. Russ, are you there? Hello, Russ? He shows up on the call. Russ, are you there? Oh, no, he left. Let's see. Maybe... He's having some connection issues. Well, I'm sure Russ will be back shortly.
Well, let me take advantage of the presence of Scorpio here to ask him about his views about the acquittal of Kyle Rittenhouse, which appears to have been completely just and appropriate. The jury took 4 days to determine that his actions were indeed under the law actions of self-defense, and that while he killed two and wounded a third, in each case he was confronting an imminent danger, a threat to his life, or for grievous bodily harm that he could not avoid, that his reaction was proportional, and really he had no choice. Now, there's a brilliant legal expert on self-defense by name of Andrew Braca. The prosecutor had simply added to that in gratuitously. It would only apply to short-barreled rifles, of which the weapon he was carrying was not. So the judge threw it out, but it was one of multiple forms of prosecutorial misconduct. And now, of course, and I believe this is because the mainstream media has so grossly distorted the case for weeks and weeks, telling us Kyle Rittenhouse was a white supremacist. Kyle Rittenhouse had transported a gun across state lines illegally. Kyle Rittenhouse had shot black men, that they were the victims and he was innocent when they were chasing and assaulting him. I mean, it's outrageous. And now we have in Waukesha what appears to be retaliation. You got this black guy with dreadlocks driving a red SUV into a Christmas parade in Waukesha. I think there can be no doubt about it. He zigzagged in order to kill as many people as possible. And the mainstream does not want to talk about his motives. They're doing their best to excuse it on flimsy grounds. I think this is outrageous. And I just point out how both of these stories contradict the Democrats' narrative. I believe the Democrats are absolutely dead in the water. They're done for, because Kyle Rittenhouse shows why self-defense is important for having weapons in an era when they want to defund the police as indispensable to your well-being. And he was acting as a white man standing up for his rights by shooting other white men. There was no racial aspect to it, which is why they had to distort their reporting so grossly. And then you have a black man who turns out to have a criminal history, as did the three who were assaulting Kyle, a criminal history, including even trying to run over his girlfriend, who's the mother of his daughter, with his car, and the Waukesha DA let him out on $1,000 bail, where he's even said during interviews in the past that he knows his leniency on bail is going to lead to some innocent people being killed, but that it's still worth it, in his opinion, will I say, when you got a black man mowing down a bunch of white people because he's incited by what he believes is a miscarriage of justice promoted by the Democrats and the mainstream media giving fake news reports about Kyle Rittenhouse. I say this utterly destroys the Democrats' narrative about all of these issues. American people are incensed over this, and the more they learn, the angrier they are going to become. I think we have reached a point of no return, and the Democrats, the party, are done for. Scorpio, your thoughts?
Well, I guess, first of all, with the Kyle Rittenhouse event, we first have to work on the assumption that this was not a staged event or some kind of operation. It seems to be a real event, but I think we always need to be suspicious of any event that the mainstream media is pushing as a major narrative and, you know, making a huge production out of it. I'm always a little suspicious of any event like that. But given the assumption that this is a real event, there's no question this was self-defense. These guys were coming after him, attacking him. But I think it's good news in terms of a jury, you know, coming to the conclusion this guy was defending himself and not destroying this kid's life. The Democrats may be finished. We'll see. I think that it depends if they're able to ramrod these federal election reforms through Congress before 2022 elections or not. Unfortunately, the elections are so rife with fraud, it's hard to predict where it'll go. I do think there's going to be rising anger among the American population because we're being lied to about everything, absolutely everything. And, this Build Back Better proposal, which is sort of a code for 666, it's going to create massive inflation. It's going to create a whole new socialist network on top of what we already have in place. And finally, I think it's going to really push forward the so-called green agenda. I think it's clear that the federal government's trying to get power play to control every aspect of people's lives. They're using the so-called green agenda, climate change, and Operation COVID hoax to enact these changes in a complete takeover of American life.
Gentlemen, I believe we're joined by the honored guest, Russ Winter. Russ, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, guys.
Can you...
Russ, did you hear my questions to Scorpio in your absence about the acquittal in Kenosha and the slaughter in Waukesha? Because I'd like your opinions about both.
I think the Democrats are in huge trouble for that and a lot of other reasons because they just run... Fifth columnist, traitorous, seditious policies that don't work. However, I'm probably going to get in trouble with a lot of people on this Waukesha thing. I saw a lot about just looking very, very carefully at the few images that are out there, which isn't much, and some of the emotional shots and some of it just looks to me like a classic stage deception. I know it's going to disappoint people because everybody is kind of clapping because here we have a clear example of black criminality.
If there were something to be said for that, I would endorse it. God knows I've explored enough and blown apart so many of these false flags that were phony. What happened in Kenosha was absolutely legitimate.
I'm making two points.
One is responding to Scorpio. that whole business was completely legit. If they were going to fake it, they would have reversed the scenario to correspond to their narrative. It would have been a white guy shooting black people. They could have arranged that if they wanted. Instead, it was a white guy shooting white guys, who, two at least of whom turned out to be Jewish, and their assault on him was monstrous. They have rap shoots that are a mile long. When you go to what happened here in Waukesha, I'm telling you, Russell, you don't know Wisconsin. People don't participate in fraud and fakery here. I mean, this is the most genuine state I know of.
That may be true, but there's stagecraft in play. You know, the people there don't realize what's even happening.
Hold on, you guys are talking over each other.
Russ. Yes, I'm responding to Russ. Let me finish, Russ, and then you'll get the floor. Okay. Killed five adults, including from 56 to 81, including three of the dancing grannies, and now an 8-year-old boy has died. I'm telling you, this was horrific, and it was real. And frankly, yeah, as far as you're concerned, getting into trouble, I just categorically reject it. And believe me, I'm not going to be taken in by something like this if it were fake. This was all too real, sad to say. Now, Russell, go ahead and respond.
I'm just looking at what I call the Sherlockian Holmes, trying to make some sense out of what I saw. I don't go with agendas, you know. Sometimes agendas can fool people. I just look at the events, and looking at this event, it just looks squirrely, very, very sketchy to me. It's all I can say, and I'm probably gonna, like I say, gonna get into trouble with a lot of people because people want to have this black guy criminality. You know, the black male criminality thing is a huge deal, and this is something that people could really latch onto. But I'm just telling you, it's sketchy. It's very sketchy. I mean,
I'm covering this in great detail, Russ. And I'll tell you, black criminality, blacks commit the overwhelming majority of crimes in the United States all categories for liquor related, where the American Indians have the edge because they have genetic incapacity to process alcohol. We have, for example, if you take whites killing blacks, which is the theme, 10 times more blacks kill whites or whites kill whites than whites kill black. Right. 55 times more black kill black. The overwhelming majority of crime in the United States is black killing black. And many of them, by the way, are done with their bare hands by beating people to death. More people are beaten to death or strangled with bare hands than are killed by guns. And the overwhelming majority who are killed by guns are killed by handguns. Rifles are very seldom used, where Kyle Rittenhouse just happened to be very adept with his weapon, and I was tremendously impressed. And I say that as a former Marine Corps officer who used to supervise recruit training in San Diego with 15 DIs and 300 recruits under my command, going through the training cycle, 11 weeks in duration, finishing one series, picking up another, including marksmanship training. I'll tell you, he is really capable, and I'm very impressed with his kid. But the story is, I mean, the pieces all fit together, and you've got the local prosecutor trying to defend his liberal policy of letting people on bail while admitting that, yes, it's going to mean some innocent people die, and where they're trying to cover up the motivation, claiming it had no connection whatsoever with a verdict in Kenosha, whereas a BLM leader from Milwaukee says he thinks the revolution may have begun in Mishawaka. And when he talks about the revolution, he's talking about Charlie Manson's helter skelter of a war of blacks against whites, where Charlie thought that would happen and the blacks were stronger and they'd wipe out the whites, but they were also dumber, and therefore Charlie and his band would come out of the mountains to lead them. I think this is so destructive, and the fact that they're not allowing the actual motivation, which is manifest from his social media site, where he was declaring himself to be a black nationalist, upset about the Rittenhouse, all the pieces of their motive means an opportunity. It fits this guy Brooks to a T. Giuseppe, I'd like you to add your thoughts.
Well, I acknowledge Russ's observation you know, doing what he does with the exceptional winterwatch.net, as well as your magisterial efforts, Jim, in investigation of conspiracy. And I was born and raised in Milwaukee. My first 27 years, then went, due to family tragedy, went back and lived there from 2005 to 2014. And I can tell you, and opened my acupuncture oriental medicine practice in 2008 there. And one of my patients was an assistant DA working under Chisholm. And this person came regularly, did a great deal of help, but got to hear all the dirt about Chisholm. He's a classic liberal, a porch climber, and really believes all that nonsense. And it's funny, this assistant DA would talk about, I put away the black grandfather, I put away the black father, I put away the black son. There's three generations in prison now because that's how they operate. And what's so funny is this individual was still a liberal and still thought, well, maybe they're, you know, it's insane. But Chisholm created this problem, as did the school marm, Governor Tony Evers. But that actually did happen, Russ. I have family that lives in Waukesha, and it was real. Those people were killed. But what I think is going on, in fact, with Rittenhouse now, is I think this is the classic deep state where organic events happen. Like Rittenhouse was actually there and did this, but all of a sudden it takes on this whole new deep state narrative to create this divide and conquer. Similarly, that weak-minded amateur rapper Jogger, he lost his mind and he ran down and murdered people. And what's even more absurd is this judge could have said no bail, and he set bail at $5 million, which there should be no bail for this guy. He's unhinged. He's got a long history of doing this stuff. And it just shows that the people of Wisconsin, who are hardy, decent people, are not served by the Soros-controlled district attorney, the Soros-controlled governor, the Soros-controlled school boards, yada, yada, yada. So I have to say that is real. I have literally boots on the ground talking about that to me daily from friends and family there. But now it's taken on a life of its own, like it always does with the globalist media and these narratives, these divide and conquer narratives they seek to implement.
There's a I've collected all the films. Everybody can go see for themselves. I mean, not going to argue with you guys. So people can just put their eyes on it,
right?
And evaluate
absolutely
themselves. I'm not buying it. I think particularly the last scene of what I call the overhead scene, showing the guy it's almost slow motion. He's not even going through the crowd very fast. You know, he approaches him, veers off to the left, barely moves. And I have a for comparison, because we seem to be in such a cartoon world all the time, I have footage of people being hit, pedestrians being hit by cars. So people can kind of separate reality from fiction, what it looks like. And usually they go straight up. They kind of go slightly to the side. And that guy wasn't going that fast. And a lot of times people get out of the way. In these clips that I have, it's kind of amazing. They can just sort of skirt out of the way right at the last second or get a glancing blow. And the idea of what I saw on that last footage of him just plowing through a bunch of marchers, and they don't even move. They don't make any attempt to get out of the way. It's grainy. It's dark. It's obscured by a tree. You would hear somebody scream. You know, you'd hear somebody behind you. Now, one wag said, well, they couldn't see it coming. It was coming from behind. Well, yes, but, you know, people have several senses. One of the senses they have is hearing. And I can tell you through personal experience, I almost got killed in Rio de Janeiro by a bus because I wasn't used to the way people drove down there. And I stepped out in front of a bus and I didn't see it. The only thing that saved my bacon was I heard it and just kind of reacted at the last second. So the idea that those people would just sit there and be run over.
Believe this. You can slow down a video. I saw the real time. He was going at least 40 miles an hour, plowing right into him. They didn't have a chance. I don't know what's going on here, Russell, but I'm really disturbed by you're giving this nonsense complete bullshit.
Hey, Jim, let's not. You're going over the top now. I need you to settle down. You need to settle down, Jim.
I'm very upset. I'm very upset about this, and I'm willing to turn the show over to you and Scorpio and make my ado. I'm not happy about this one fucking bit.
Jim, we should be able to discuss any opinion, Jim. This is you're over the top right now. You need to take a deep breath. And I mean, if anybody should be able to discuss anything, it's you. I mean, respect other people's opinions. I mean, this is ridiculous. You can't be so visceral about this, Jim. You're better than this.
I accept that, Giuseppe.
We're just talking, Jim. This is just talking, you know. I mean, it's
go ahead, Russ. Lay it on.
Just look at the clips and see for yourself. I don't want to argue with you, and we can move on to other topics. Just look at the clips. They're very sketchy. They don't look right to me. I don't know if they slowed it down or not. Maybe that's true. Maybe they did slow that clip or not. But it's a crap clip. It looks like stagecraft to me. So that's all I've got to say on it. And I've kind of looked at it, all the clips. And there's no clear vision. You know, he slams into the crowd, and right at the last second, they do the herky-jerky routine. They're always doing the herky-jerky thing, so you never actually see anything. I mean, this is as bad as any of the false flags that you've ever covered, Jim, in my opinion. It's right up there with it.
It's not a false flag, Russell. You got to be able to tell the difference.
It's a stage deception.
Legit, he was zigzagging to kill as many people as possible. He was going about 40 miles an hour. I watched the vehicle bump as it ran over bodies. I mean,
right,
I don't
right.
know what.
Right. Why didn't people? Why aren't people getting out of the way? People would get out of the way. They're not just going to sit there with like deer in headlight, just letting this guy roll over him like that. Doesn't make any sense.
Oh, God, Russell, they were hit from behind. The band was playing. They didn't hear it coming. Yeah, your explanation just don't wash. But I want to not make too much of it. Giuseppe's already called me out for being over the top. I accept his criticism. Let me go back to Scorpio. Scorpio may be more sympathetic. Go ahead, Scorpio.
Well, I haven't really looked into this event enough to have formed a complete opinion. But I do think it's, you know, we should always be suspicious of anything that the mainstream media is pushing, especially something that's highly emotional, something that gets a lot of airtime.
Scorpio,
so,
they're not pushing it. They're diminishing it. They're trying to pretend it was an accident. He was trying to get away from a knife fight. He'd been involved in a domestic dispute. So, of course, you run through a police barricade and mow down a bunch of people doing their Christmas parade. You don't know what the hell's going on here, Scorpio, and I know it's for good reasons. You've been preoccupied with a lot of other things, but I'm telling you, the mainstream is not pushing this. They're trying to suppress it, which is another reason to recognize it's bona fide and real. So,
I just have not had the chance to dig into this deep enough to have a firm opinion.
I'm sorry I put you on the spot not knowing that you had not been able to follow it, but I accept that.
Well, but I'm just saying, all I'm saying is that we need to be very, very careful in believing anything that the mainstream media is pushing is real.
Well, who are you addressing?
I think we're at a point where the mainstream media is nothing more than a gaslighting operation.
Who are you addressing, Scorpio? Are you telling me I'm not going to be critical of what goes on?
That's just my standpoint.
I make a point of sorting these things out, right? And you've even got Giuseppe, who's got boots on the ground there, authenticating this. So I'm very troubled if you would continue to, you know, of course we're skeptical to begin with. Of course we're going to do research. I've done it. You haven't. So
I would add that we don't really know what the agenda is of the media. Who knows? It could just be pure divide and conquer, just making a shitstorm.
Come on, Russ. You know what the agenda of the media is.
I know. I don't. I don't know. I don't. Nobody gives me the memos, Jim. Seriously. Nobody gives me the memos.
Trying to take our guns, all this other horseshit.
Yeah, right.
They throw a lot of curveballs.
They have strange agendas.
Go ahead.
Yeah, that's it. They have a lot of agendas. They have they throw curveballs. We don't get the memos. That's all I'll say. I don't know what their purpose is on this. Look, to me, it looks like to get the white community very angry about the black community, and the white community should get angry about the black community because there's a lot of black criminality out there. But this is sort of a funny way of almost like the Manson. It really is. It's sort of like a Manson type operation to get people really worked up.
I agree with all the points. I mean, I know this did happen, but it starts organically, and now the synthetic divide and conquer is in full manifestation. I mean, why in the world did Kyle Rittenhouse meet with Donald Trump, and why is this now this huge politicized thing? And I mean, if I were that kid,
well, Trump invited him down to Mar-a-Lago. I mean, obviously this case is very strong for the Republican position on the Second Amendment and other issues that vitiate the Democrats. I don't think it's surprising, but of course the Democrats will try to distract attention to Trump because that's their favorite whipping boy. And ignore as much as they can the facts of both cases because they both destroy the Democrat narrative, albeit in different ways. Scorpio.
Well, yeah, I think that's a valid point, Jim. I'm not as convinced as you are that the Democrats are down for the count. But, you know, I think what we need to consider, too, is like look at the kind of phony Republican that comes into play. When they do elect a Republican, this Youngkin character is an avowed globalist. He doesn't admit that, but he certainly is a CFR member and a attendee at the World Economic Forum and a former OC Carla.
Stand by.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Let me say, after the break, having calmed down, that Giuseppe was right and I was wrong to be so over the top. It just bothers the hell out of me that we get so preoccupied with false flags that we can't tell real events from the fabricated ones, where both of these are sterling examples that are of tremendous political significance for America. And where we got to get it right. And I'm just terribly troubled when I see individuals I regard as astute intellects like Russ Winter and David Scorpio raising questions when, you know, the reasons for recognizing that these are legit, in my opinion, are very much manifest. But perhaps it means that I can't take for granted that people are going to be able to sort these things out, as well as someone who has done as many of these as I have for such a long period of time, which is not to gainsay your and Scorpio's skills and abilities, which I respect and admire. So Russell, well, accept you, that an abject apology for going over the top.
These are tough topics. No problem. I would only say that probably the resolution to this issue, and it needs to be resolved, is to get something besides the state. To me, it looks like stagecraft footage that I've seen so far. But there's a pretty big crowd there, and if you got people on the ground that are, saying this is real, then surely there must be some footage that they've taken that's not poor quality and not herky jerky and not weird like this typical stuff that they're doing here. We should be able to dig that up. And how about the CCTV camera? If anybody's got any contacts with the police, that should be kind of revealed. In other words, if there's any question about this, I think it could be resolved. And maybe I'm wrong, but I have to see something that looks a lot better than the stagecraft looking footage.
Don't know what footage you're looking at, but I can.
What about people just there? There's a pretty big crowd. There's a pretty big crowd there.
They're just not going to do it. It's too inflammatory. So I think there's been a lot of exercise of discretion here, that they have massive video. Everything I've seen has been totally on the up and up, including the car sailing by at 40 miles an hour or more. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind how fast that vehicle was driving and that this was all
right, malicious. But he didn't hit anybody. When he's driving fast, he didn't hit anybody. He had no contact. He just went by the crowd. And then when he finally entered the kill zone, he slowed down.
He mowed down. He's already killed six, and there were some 48 others who were injured. So I literally don't know what you're talking about. when he approached them, he didn't start hitting until he got up to the back of the band, and then he began mowing down,
right,
and then he zigzagged to kill as many as he could.
Yeah, that's the kill. That's the kill zone. Exactly. Exactly. That's the kill zone. But I would like to see some neutral observers that took some footage of that. Maybe Giuseppe could get it. We should investigate this. This doesn't have to be just automatically accepted.
What do you want? Jesus Christ, to rub your face
in the blood? I'm not satisfied. It looks like sagecraft.
Satisfied. Okay. You're not satisfied. I get it. Okay. Scorpio, your thoughts.
Well, I just think I would just, you know, caution, you know, the mainstream media puts these events out for us to react to. I just think we should be skeptical about all of them. This could very well be real. I need to look into it further before I form a definite opinion. But even the Kyle Rittenhouse event, it should be under suspicion a little bit. I just think that these things are put out for us to react to. And then we're supposed to divide up into two camps, the people that think, oh, my God, they're shooting people in the streets. Guns are horrible. And then the people, oh, hey, now this is a blow for justice. And, you know, things are going our way now. I just want to caution, you know, reacting to anything the mainstream media puts out. And just to finish up my point earlier about this young Ken character, a true globalist, and he's being portrayed as this wonderful victory for the Republicans and for, you know, the traditional values. We'll see what the man ends up doing, but the guy has incredible pedigree as a globalist, you know, and you don't get involved in the Carlyle Group, especially being a co-CEO of it, unless you are a real insider. They just don't let anybody off the street get involved in the Carlyle Group. That's quite a pedigree, and you combine that with being a World Economic Forum attendee and a Council on Foreign Relations member. This guy's a dyed-in-the-wool globalist. So was it really a victory, or are they just playing us, you know, like going back and forth between the Republicans and the Democrats, depending on what they need to do to manipulate the public?
Well, look, you make good points about Youngkin having been the CEO of the Carlyle Group, but are you suggesting the Virginians should have voted for Terry McAuliffe?
No, I'm suggesting that these elections are a scam. If both the people are controlled opposition in one way or another, the outcome isn't really all that important. The point is to keep us believing that the elections are important and that they somehow are going to affect what the government does. I'm beginning to truly believe that the agenda simply just marches on, and the elections and the faces they put on television are just there for public consumption.
Giuseppe, your thoughts.
All three of your points resonate with me, and I think it shows the passion that is going on. And I think that the divide and conquer is stunning right now. And the efforts by these globalists. And I think also that you have the mastery of these mind rapists, that they can take organic events like good-hearted Kyle Rittenhouse going up there to do his part, what he feels is protecting business. And then, you know, and then now all of a sudden, you know, he's doing interviews. He's lambasting Lynn Woods, his former attorney. I mean, there's so many layers to all this stuff. It's really, it's really beyond maddening. It's intentionally agitating. It's all agitprop to a certain extent. And they always want to shroud the truth. Like Jim, the points you're making, I agree with all of them, but I'm, you know, some of the footage I've seen that Russ is talking about does look kind of fake, but I've seen other footage that is absolutely real about him mowing people down. And as I said, I have literally nieces and nephews and brothers and sisters who all live in Waukesha County. And I've talked to all of them since this happened, and they were all very shook up. And one of the individuals murdered was someone my family knew. So, I mean, that woman is dead, and so But my God, look at what they're constantly doing to us all. It's just tragic. And so I honor everyone, and I'm glad we're having this discussion. And I really thank all of you for your passion and also the ability to act like adults. And Jim, that's great that you pointed out to Russ that you got a little overheated, because this is gone to a whole nother level of evil. The whole fact that, you know, the Rittenhouse should have been exonerated, shouldn't have even gone to trial. It was clear self-defense, should have been investigated, should have never been turned into the show monkey trial it was. And then it shouldn't have taken 4 days. It should have taken 4 hours to deliver that verdict. And then you get this lowlife, this jogger, this thug who was triggered, clearly. And so it's all part of a very evil, bigger plan that sadly seems to be working.
Russell. I kind of really agree with Scorpio. You know, I'm not interested in politics anymore. I don't find any victory or satisfaction out of any of this stuff. You know, they just need a completely different type of candidate and it's just not there. So the country is pretty much finished as far as I'm concerned. And it kind of looks like the Czech Republic is kind of finished too.
Wow, what's going on with that?
Well, they've gone to some really draconian measures. I wrote an article, The Adventures of a Deplorable in the Czech Republic. So I went to I'll give you a typical day. On last Tuesday, I had a dental hygiene appointment, and I went in there, and they wouldn't treat me because I don't have a vaccine.
Oh wow!
And so then I can't go to restaurants without a vaccine pass, and so I went to a restaurant where I'm a regular customer. And I said, well, maybe they'll let me in. You know, maybe they'll just ignore this. So I go in there, and the guy comes. He knows me, and he comes to the door, and he says, can I see your vaccine pass? I says, well, am I going to have to leave? And he literally almost cried. He was almost in tears.
Wow.
When he realized that I didn't have the vaccine, because they're just fucking their businesses up. You know, they're putting them in a really difficult spot, these waiters and staff. Just very tyrannical type stuff, you know. You know, tattle on your neighbors. Don't you enforce the ridiculous rules that we have on COVID, which of course is just as easily caught from a vaccinated person as it is from an unvaccinated person. So it has no basis in science or reality. So I had to leave. He gave me the thumbs down. He was looked like he was going to cry. He really did. So then I went and then I went down the street. Just tell you the story, because I think this illustrates a lot what Europe is experiencing. And I went into another restaurant where I wasn't a regular. I quickly sat down near the bathroom, kind of near the front door in the bathroom. The waiter came, gave me my menu. I ordered really quickly, and then he left, took the order in. Then he came back, and he asked me for the vaccine pass. I said, well, I don't have it. Do I need to leave? See, that's how I'm handling. Do I need to leave? Because that kind of puts the onus on them, right? He said, just a minute, sir. And he goes, he talks to his manager. I could see him down there in the bar. And I approached the manager and the waiter. And I said, look, why don't I just go over there by the restroom? I'll eat fast, you know, eating while unvaccinated, I'll call it. And if somebody official comes in, I'll just dive into the can, go hide out in the toilet. And the manager says, fuck it. Go ahead.
Oh, that's cool. Isn't it, based on your article of a few days ago, 40% of the Czech Republic is unvaccinated still? Is that still the case?
Yeah. So how are they going to be able to do this? How are they going to do this? They're just, you know, the people that are still unvaccinated, they're not a third, the majority of them are not going to get vaccinated. You're down to the bottom of the barrel in terms of getting people to extort and convert.
Man, it's just unbelievable.
Yeah, and what they're trying to do is turn restaurant owners and restaurant staff into government enforcers. And this is extremely dangerous, because you're trying to convert, you know, just average people into enforcement agents for the government on anything. It's so incredible to try to make that kind of civilization where everybody is enforcing some kind of government mandate.
Right.
It's insane. and it goes against the very premise of, you know, a free market society, you know, where you're asking businesses to turn away business, to say you can't come in here, I don't want your money.
Can you imagine the people skills that are involved in this? You would have to have the best people in the world to keep your customer base, the 40% that are unvaccinated that you're turning away. Now, I didn't have a problem with the first restaurant I went into. They treated me, you know, respectfully. But if I ever encounter anybody that's, you know, that I see as hostile or, you know, arrogant, I'll never go back there again. And you got 40% of the country, same thing.
Because, you know, in Los Angeles, they have a, you know, they're supposed to show your proof of vaccine, you know, card to get into a restaurant now. And what's happening is that a lot of restaurants and bars and are simply not going along with it. They'll post the sign out front saying, oh, you have to show proof of vaccine or you have to wear a mask, this and that, but they don't enforce it. So I think there's going to be a real problem enforcing these sort of mandates because a lot of people don't want anything to do with it. And I think a lot of people are realizing the kind of society that they're trying to create, which is a tattletale, you know, society, a society where everybody is essentially acting as a government agent.
There's a 3,000 euro fine for serving a deplorable.
No way. Jeez.
Yeah, and I don't know to what degree they're enforcing it or how much the police themselves are getting involved, because again, the police people here are not that arrogant. They're pretty good people. It just doesn't seem suited for the Czech Republic.
I think most people just want to live their lives and go about their business without being hassled by the government. And I think that's a real danger that this government is facing worldwide, is that I think increasingly more and more people just aren't going to want to go along with it.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see if they start finding these restaurants this kind of money, they'll have no choice and they'll lose their business.
Right, but then you have to have you have to have a government agent or someone from the health department come in and catch them and then start issuing fines, right, and then enforce those fines.
Right.
This is all very problematic when you talk about trying to do it all over, you know, an entire city with the thousands and thousands of restaurants and businesses that are in place. I guess it's possible, but if there's enough non-compliance, it's going to be very difficult.
At some point, I'd like to elicit Russell's views about JFK. Oliver Stone just released a new film. I'm sorry to say that he appears to have been played by one D'Eugenio in relation to this revisited film, just as he was played by Robert Rodin in relation to the original JFK, where Oliver appears not to have known that Lee Oswald was standing in the doorway of the book depository when the motorcade passed by, which means he not only cannot have been the lone demented gunman, but cannot have been one of the shooters. Where my collaborative research has established there actually were as many as 8. Oliver posited 3, but there were actually many more. He also believed, because of Rodin, that the Zapruder film was authentic when it's been massively revised. Indeed, the extant version we have today is missing more frames than exists. It was originally about 1,000 frames. 500 have been removed. We have 487 that remain. Now, while Oliver was on the right track in fingering Lyndon as a principal player, he's now shifted his attention to Alan Dulles, which is a tragedy. There is a book by David Talbot called The Devil's Chessboard that makes out that case, but the evidence against it is simply overwhelming. Not that Dulles wasn't involved. Dulles simply wasn't the inspiration where the whole plot to take up Jack originated at the Democratic Convention in Los Angeles in 1960. Russell, just consider that an invitation for your reflections on the assassination.
Well, I agree with you totally on the Zapruder film. There's a really, God, I forget who it was, really good, some of the guys that handled, the guy that handled it at the other end, you know, put the boards together. What was that guy's name? You remember the guy that put the boards together of the shots?
They had two different teams. One there on Saturday when the original was brought. Bruno Buglioni was in charge. The second day, Sunday, they brought down the substitute film from Rochester, where the CIA had a secret lab, Hawkeye Works, where they'd revised it. There were blatant physical differences. The film brought on Saturday had been developed in Dallas. It was an 8mm already split film. They had to actually ask a shop owner to open his store so they could buy an 8mm projector to review it. But the film brought down the following day by a Secret Service agent who identified himself as William Smith was a 16mm uncut film. So you really couldn't confuse them if you knew their physical properties. But because, and this has been exposed so clearly by Douglas Horn, who is a secret senior analyst for military records for the Assassination Records Review Board, because there were two different teams at work there, they didn't realize that we're talking about two different films and two different sets of briefing boards had been prepared. So lay on.
Well,
yeah, follow
up. Buglioni in this documentary that I saw literally had to admit at an old age, he's an old guy, that he had been had, that he had fallen for the stagecraft. And when it was kind of presented to him, it all kind of came together. Says, oh, that's what happened. And he literally admitted in this interview to what had happened, that they'd been switched on him.
Yeah, but he saw the original. He actually was dealing with what appears to real film on Saturday.
Right,
yeah.
Right. But he basically said that what came out was not the original. That's what he said. Right. Isn't that true? Isn't that correct? Yeah.
That's right.
He didn't know that before because he kind of admitted, you know, I never really looked into it. So you got this stuff where people aren't paying quite enough attention. These small little details, and people have short memories sometimes. But when he actually had gone back and looked at the new boards, he finally looked at it and said, that's not it. That's not what that's just like, what, 40 years later?
Oh, I believe it was Douglas Horn probably who was interviewing him, who's done wonderful work.
Yeah. Yes.
He's got a 5-volume set. I mean, I've got it right here. Here's volume 4, upside down, of his enormous research, which is staggering. I mean, this is virtually encyclopedia. Volume 4 is about the Zapruder film, where he did simply wonderful work nailing it down. John P. Costello, PhD, by the way, did a brilliant tutorial showing, based upon internal features internal to the extant film, how you can prove that it was a fabrication, meaning they took original resources and then edited them and revised them in order to produce the extant version of the film, where John's tutorial can be found on both assassinationscience.com, my very first website, but also on assassinationresearch.com, which John and I co-edit together. So,
well, the litmus test on these theories is my son. My son is sometimes a hard case. And I had him, we watched this Horn documentary with Buglioni, and he was rapt. He watched it all. Usually he kind of tunes out and, you know, does different multitasking. And at the end of it, he says, God, Dad, man, it was a conspiracy. So that's a good one to show to people. You know, people that are a little more on the sitting on the fence, that particular documentary.
No, I agree completely. Do you have opinions about the, you know, how this whole thing evolved? I mean, I'm very disappointed in Oliver Stone coming out with this Alan Dulles thing, because all the people who knew Lyndon best up close and personal, Madeline Duncan Brown, a mistress with whom he began an affair in 1948, bore him a child, Stephen, in 1950. Because of their relationship, she was invited to all these social events, including the ratification meeting at the home of Clint Murchison Sr. the night before, the night of the 21st, where Lyndon has showed up late and the heavy hitters disappeared into a boardroom, including, by the way, Richard Nixon and John J. McCloy, whom Lyndon would later appoint to the Warren Commission, along with Alan Dulles. And after they broke up, he headed over to her, and she thought he was going to whisper sweet nothings. Instead, he told her in a hateful tone of voice that after tomorrow, he wasn't going to have to put up with those Kennedy boys any longer. That's not a threat. That's a promise. Where 6 weeks later, they had a rendezvous in the Driscoll Hotel in Austin, Texas, and Madeline confronted him with rumors rampant in Dallas at the time that he'd been involved, since no one stood to gain more personally. And Lyndon blew up at her and told her the oil boys and the CIA had decided that Jack had to be taken out. But it actually originated with Lyndon himself in 1960, when Jack beat him for the nomination for the Democratic Party. He'd invited Stuart Symington of Missouri to be his running mate. And when Bobby went by the Johnson suite, never imagining he'd have the least interest, Lyndon jumped on it, threatened to expose that Jack had Addison's disease, wasn't expected to live a long, healthy life, that he had, among his dalliances, had been one with a beautiful woman who was a spy for East Germany, information he'd been provided by J. Edgar Hoover, and that if he were not on the ticket, then any legislative proposal set down by the White House would be dead on arrival, because in his position as the powerful majority leader, he'd bottled them up. Bobby and Jack were boxed in. They couldn't figure a way out and had to accede to Lyndon's demands. When one of LBJ's wealthy backers learned what was happening, that now he was going to help Jack Kennedy become president, he burst into the Johnson suite cursing and swearing. Bobby Baker took him into a bedroom and explained to him what they had in mind. He came out all smiles, saying he thought that was an excellent plan. Bobby Baker would later declare in public that Jack would not live out his first term, would die a violent death. Lyndon would send his chief administrative assistant, Cliff Carter, down to Dallas to make sure all the arrangements were in place for the assassination. We're on a break. We'll be back with Russ Winter.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war
is coming. And it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11, available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Anyone who'd like to follow up on my sketch of the assassination and its origins, you can check out my real deal JFK special on 18 November that is archived at my BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer. And of course, the fourth of my books, all of which are edited, where I bring together experts. JFK, Who, How, and Why is available at Moonrock Books, but where the three original books where I brought together, you know, the best experts in the world, Assassination Science 1998, Murder in Dealey Plaza 2000, and The Great Zapruder Film Hoax 2003, those classic books are available, but I think now only on Kindle. I've been very concerned trying to regain the copyright to put them out as paperbacks again at Moonrock Books, but I've been unsuccessful in achieving that goal. Let me simply add that once you recognize that the Zapruder film has been massively edited, for example, that the autopsy x-rays were altered to conceal a fist-sized blowout at the back of the head, that another brain was substituted for that of JFK, which is not my opinion alone, but that of a world authority on the human brain who is also an expert on wound ballistics, having supervised an emergency medical hospital for injured Okinawans and Japanese prisoners of war during the Battle of Okinawa. David W. Mantic, in addition, who is the leading authority on the medical evidence in the world today, has been into the archives 6 or 8 times now, and who told me before he entered the very first time that he thought he'd find evidence of a second shot to the head and that the autopsy x-rays had been altered, where indeed he found both. A physician who was present in trauma room number 1 when JFK's moribund body was brought in and then 2 days later was responsible for the care and treatment of his alleged assassin Lee Oswald and others of very high stature in relation to blowing apart the cover-up. Once you understand these things, you realize how much the idea of floating out the KGB or pro or anti-Castro Cubans or even the mob are untenable, because the KGB, for example, could not have extended its reach into Bethesda Naval Hospital to alter x-rays under the control of the medical officers of the U.S. Navy or agents of the Secret Service, pro or anti-Castro Cubans could have substituted someone else's brain for that of JFK. And the mob obviously could not have got its hands on the Zapruder film to edit it. So it becomes a very small group that could have been responsible here. And indeed, Noel Twyman in his magisterial work, Bloody Treason, published in 1997, put together that the perfect conspiracy would involve Lyndon Johnson bringing in the CIA, who would bring in the mob, the Secret Service, and the military, who were upset with Jack because he had not invaded Cuba, contrary to the unanimous recommendation. He'd gone ahead and signed an above-ground test ban treaty with the Soviet Union against their unanimous opposition. And now he was pulling all of our forces out of Vietnam by the end of 1964, where they felt a stand had to be taken against the expansion of international godless communism. So they threw in with the assassination. And by the way, each of the groups who were sponsoring the event, principally for reasons of policy, except for the anti-Castro Cubans who felt he'd betrayed them at the Bay of Pigs and wanted revenge, put up their own shooters. So we had a deputy sheriff at the top of the county records building. We had an Air Force expert inside the Triple Underpass. We had a CIA guy at the intersection of the fence and the Triple Underpass. We had a Dallas cop with ties to the CIA on the grassy knoll. We had Lyndon Johnson, personal hitman in the book depository. We had an anti-Castro Cuban in the Dow Techs, where their supervisors, by the way, on the ground included George Herbert Walker Bush and Edward Lansdale, Air Force general responsible for assassinations all over the world, who appears to have positioned the shooters and determined the sequence of shots. So if you want to see an overview, you can check out that my latest on JFK, though there are quite a few earlier presentations out there that where the most recent simply reflects the latest proofs, much of which has been done by Larry Rivera, who's mastered the principles of photogrammetry and discovered how to superimpose images on top of one another, where if they're taken from the same perspective and you set the interpupillary distance, the distance between the pupils of the two eyes, the same, then if it's the same person, all pictures will fall into place, as he's done with the figure in the doorway in the famous photograph taken by James Ike Alchin, where it turns out that while the government insists it was Billy Lovelady, who himself said he thought it was odd they'd be confused, because he was 2 to 3 inches shorter and 15 to 20 pounds heavier. When he does a superposition, it fits Lee Oswald exactly. It does not fit Billy Lovelady, who turns out to have been adjacent to Lee on the steps holding his hands up, where they altered the film by blacking out his face and obliterating his shirt, which was completely different from the long sleeve, richly textured shirt that the man in the doorway was wearing, which corresponded to the shirt that Lee was wearing when he was arrested, where the cops were so aware of this that they made him take off his overshirt and did his mug shirt only in his T-shirt. Larry has also established what Jim Mars and I had concluded in an earlier piece we co-authored about the man in the backyard photograph, that it was Roscoe White, who was the Dallas police officer who took a shot from the grassy knoll with a revolver. In many ways, the easiest shot, but he would have hit Jackie, and they were under strict instruction she was not to be harmed. Roscoe had a considerably more robust build across the chest and shoulders than Lee. So when Larry found a perfect photograph of Roscoe in trunks on a beach and did the superposition, it filled out the silhouette of the backyard man exactly, where Lee had told Will Fritz it was his face posted on somebody else's body, and he knew something about photography, and with time he'd be able to prove it. Well, of course, he didn't live long enough, but he was exactly right. In fact, we have yet to find anything Lee Oswald said that was recorded on that occasion while he was under arrest that has been false. He was correct on all. And when Larry takes the same images in the backyard photographs and imposes Lee's image, he's much too slight a figure. He's weak across the shoulders and the chest. So the backyard photographs couldn't possibly be Leah Oswalt, but indeed are Roscoe White. Moreover, Roscoe appears to have been a busy fellow because he appears to have assassinated as many as 50 different witnesses to the assassination. Russ, that's kind of a lot, but I'd welcome any thoughts you have about the assassination, pro or con, what I've just sketched. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of detail there, but I think that the theory that Johnson must have got together quite a crew. He had some very capable, loyal assassins and conspirators. It's kind of amazing, but it really tells us where we are today, the kind of world we live in. That you can get these criminal organizations to get together and pull these operations off.
Yes, yes, yes. And then blame it on the mob, for example, or leave it up in the air so we're not supposed to ever know what actually happened, when actually we know with a great deal of specificity. I'm just acutely disappointed that Oliver Stone was misled by Jim DiEugenio into focusing on Alan Dulles, which is a clear red herring. It wasn't Dulles. It was all the way with LBJ.
Well, they like to bring somebody in to dirty him. Nope. I mean, I think they've got the mob in on the periphery so that they could blackmail him or, you know, point the finger that way. No.
Well, yeah. I mean, the mob put up a shooter.
Jimmy Files, right? Yeah.
No, actually. It's very interesting. I have met Files. I actually treated him and his wife to dinner right here in Madison. And I like the guy tremendously. But in fact, it turns out Files made two comments during our conversations that were striking to me. He said, once the government commits itself to a position, it's locked in and it will never change, which is highly explanatory as to why, for example, in relation to 9/11, even though a half a dozen or more of the alleged suicide hijackers turned up alive and well the following day and made contact with the British press, the FBI has never revised. And while the House Select Committee concluded that based upon the acoustical evidence that was inadvertently recorded by a motorcycle officer, there'd been a second shooter on the grassy knoll, a role which could have been filled by Files, the trajectory is wrong. I mean, David Mantic and I have looked at this rather in detail, just as we have the idea of a curbside. There's this sewer opening at the curbside. Many believe a shot was fired from there. Well, we went there. David even climbed into the sewer, believe it or not. And the trajectory, the angle is just wrong. Well, with regard to Files' shot, the ballistics and the trajectory are just wrong. He's very plausible. And as I say, I reiterate, I like the guy tremendously. But when I reached the conclusion that he had been cast in this role because the government, once locked in, will never change its mind, I informed him. I wrote to his wife and said that my conclusion, you know, had been that Files had been assigned this role and he was fulfilling it admirably. Turned out she was very hesitant to share that with James, but eventually she did, which I thought was very important. I mean, I didn't want, you know, him to discover when I gave a presentation to talk about this, that I had concluded he hadn't filled the role he had claimed. And I have a banner right here, signed by James Files about I shot JFK. I wanted her to be sure to inform James of my conclusion. And he reacted very mildly and said, well, everyone's entitled to their own opinion. But, you know, I mean, this is not a guy I really wanted to be on the wrong side of. And I like him. I swear, I like the guy tremendously. We just hit it off. He made a wonderful phone call to me, which I have on my cell phone, after we had dinner together, saying how much he enjoyed it. From one gym to another, we just hit it off. But that was my professional conclusion, which I had to share with him and his wife. And they're both good people, in my opinion. And they've published several books about his role.
Maybe he thinks that he played the role. I mean, maybe he honestly thinks that, because the stagecraft on this stuff is unbelievable. You know, how they smoke and mirrors and black magic that they pull.
You mean could they psychotronically or otherwise or through hypnosis have induced in him the belief he actually had fired the shot?
Yeah, or something like that. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, something or just trick him. You know, there's a lot of tricks you can pull. So he's there pulling the trigger and somebody else, you think somebody else shot him, right? Who do you think got the money shot in?
This is a very serious guy. And I think it would be very tough to fool or put one over on James Files, really? My thoughts. Scorpio, join the conversation.
Well, yeah, that's interesting. Did James Files, was he actually for sure like a hitman for other mafia events? I mean, have you confirmed that?
Yes. The answer is yeah. He was a hitman for Sam Giancana. They wrote Selleck and all that. I mean,
What would be his motivation for making this up then?
Well, he was assigned it. It was an assignment. Scorpio, I can tell you there were 8 shooters and none of them were James Files. And the shot he claims to have taken from the location does not fit the ballistics. So,
well, yeah, no, I'm not defending him. I'm just curious.
He was assigned the role. I mean, look, the CIA and the mob were deeply involved in this and they wanted someone to be the second shooter and it's Files. And he does a great job of carrying it off, in my opinion. When his Confessions of an Assassin first came out, this was, oh my God, let me see, 70, what was it? I mean, I was on the Duluth campus at the University of Minnesota. Local TV station asked me to give them my assessment of his role here. And I explained to him, while he knew a tremendous amount of the assassination, that I gave him at least an 80% truth rating, meaning 80% of what he said was accurate about the assassination. But his role was, in my opinion, not correct, though I was fascinated by the weapon he used, which is this Remington Fireball. It's a pistol that has a shoulder that's a high-velocity varmint pistol. I believe that pistol could have been used in the assassination, but I've been forced to conclude by the medical and ballistic evidence that James did not fire the shot. Now, it's interesting. He claimed to have bit down on a cartridge and left it there. And indeed, a shell casing was found that had this bite mark on it in the dirt there years and years later, you know, which led to great credibility. But when you apply the science, I mean, he the shot he took was not taken. And I'm talking about, you know, I mean, I bring in people who are expert in areas where I'm not. I'm not an expert on ballistics or wounds, but David Mantic and Bob Livingston are. And, you know, David has published a book on Amazon.com about the JFK head wounds, where he now believes there may have been a third shot to the head, by the way. The first occurred after the driver, William Greer, pulled the limousine to the left and to a halt from the Daltex. He was hit in the back of the head near the external occipital protuberance, that bump on your head where you dressed if you were lying in a tub. He slumped forward. Remember, he was strapped into this corset-like back support thing. So he really didn't have a lot of flexibility. So he slumped forward. Jack eased him back out, was looking at him right in the face when he was hit in the right temple by the shot fired from the intersection of the triple underpace and the picket fence by Frank Sturgis, who may have been the best marksman in the world. And then he slumped to the side. Now, Jackie at that time was climbing out over a big chunk of Jack's skull and brains that was on the trunk, which he held in her hand all the way to Parkland. And after they pried Jack's moribund body from her arms and she composed herself, she walked into trauma room number one and turned to the anesthesiologist, Pepper Jenkins, extended her hand and asked, "Will this help?" Very touching, the most poignant moment in the history of the assassination. Well, David now believes that virtually simultaneous with the shot to the right temple, there was a shot to the left. That appears to have been fired from the south knoll where the grass opposite the grassy knoll, that triangular section, there's a single tree there. You wouldn't believe there was sufficient area to camouflage a shooter, but I have seen two photographs in the hands of two different JFK experts, where you see him standing holding his rifle, and these are two different photographs, so there's no doubt he was there and appears to have fired the shot that David now believes was a third shot to the head. So this is all really incredibly fascinating stuff, and I was very pleased when David invited me to write the preface to his book. It's coming out in a new edition in paperback. It's heretofore only been in Kindle, but David is putting it out in a paperback now. And every serious student ought to, you know, check it out. That's a very important contribution, because he is, as I observe, the leading expert on the medical evidence in the assassination of JFK. Giuseppe, your thoughts?
Well, Jim, your deep dive into JFK is unprecedented and really amazing. And it just, to this day, it's shocking to me that, as you've said so many times, this occurred at the highest corridors of power, because the massive cover up that exists to this day, because we were told that all this was going to be unsealed 50 years after. And now Trump kicked the can down the road, and now Biden's kicking the can, not releasing it all. So it must be so, so damaging and damning to those descendants, the current individuals in real power, the deep state types, that they just don't want this revealed. And as Russ said moments ago, this leads up to everything. I mean, the Kennedy assassination is the foundation of 9/11, the foundation of this scamdemic. It's sad that we couldn't convince enough American citizens to really take up their pitchforks and their torches and demand the truth about this vicious human sacrifice that occurred November 26, 1963.
Let me comment on this release issue. The Warren Commission determined none of the records should be released for 75 years. Now, that happened to be the average lifespan of an American at the time. So that meant want the records released until any American who'd been alive to witness the events at the time was dead. And there are good reasons for that. If you watch the coverage that afternoon on NBC, for example, where still archives see it now, they're reporting two wounds. One is a small, clean puncture wound to the throat that clearly was fired from in front. And the other is a shot that entered the right temple and blew his brains out the back of the head, also fired from in front. So when the Warren Commission report came out and said all the shots had been fired from above and behind, I think everyone who was glued to their TV that day felt uneasy that something was wrong, whether they could or could not remember all the specifics of what was reported on television that day. But it's absolutely stunning that you had the mainstream news at that time was far more responsible, accurate in its reporting than we find today, where it's turned into a virtual propaganda machine. Now, the Assassination Records Review Board was established to release the documents, and they did a huge trove of those documents. But there were others left behind on the grounds of national security. If you stop and think about it, the official narrative of this disgruntled ex-Marine firing three lucky shots from the 6-4 of the Texas School Book Depository, were it true, has no issues of national security. So you know immediately if they're withholding on grounds of national security, the official report cannot be true. Now, Trump wanted to finish out and bring out more of the evidence, the rest that were held back, and actually succeeded in getting out quite a lot, but it was not digitalized. It was all done only in hard copies, so that Larry Rivera, whom I mentioned, having done this brilliant work of superposition in relation to the man in the doorway in the backyard photographs, who happens to have been born in Puerto Rico, a native Spanish speaker, was able to assess all the evidence they had about the story of Oswald having gone to Mexico to obtain a visa to make an escape to the Soviet Union by way of Cuba. All of that was a fabrication. It's exposed in great detail. Larry has done absolutely sensational work on this. He's about to publish a second book, which will also be out from Moonrock Books about it. But get this, 3 of the CIA assets in Mexico were successive presidents of Mexico itself. Successive wow. presidents of Mexico wow. itself. J. Edgar actually put out a memorandum to all of his FBI station chiefs saying that someone was in Mexico City impersonating Lee Oswald. And I've observed in the past that if that's all you knew about the assassination, that Hoover had put out a memorandum that someone was in Mexico City impersonating Lee Oswald, you'd recognize it was a conspiracy and that he had been framed.
And the role of Jack Ruby and all this stuff. I mean, that's at the time I was 12 years old, and they let them shoot this guy. Really? I mean, that's what I was thinking at the time. I said, that really? let Jack Ruby go in and just shoot this guy? Makes no sense. Yeah,
hit the break, and I'm quite sure there are a lot of listeners who'd love to ask questions of you, Russ, or Giuseppe, or Scorpio, or me. So we'll open the phone lines, 540-352-4452, 540-352-4452. You're welcome to call in. Mitchell will handle your call and get you on the air. Meanwhile, we're delighted to have Russ Winter back with us again, and I'm certain this will not be his last appearance on the event. We'll be right back. And if I'm a few seconds early, anything anyone, Russ, about Ruby, I'll tell you, this is a fascinating story. Ralph Sinkay, who's a chiropractor and used to dealing with people who want their clothing to fit better, was the first who told me how we knew the man in the doorway was Lee Oswald based upon his height, his weight, his build, his shirt, and his T-shirt, which, as I've observed, were so similar to what Oswald was wearing when he was arrested, they had to have him take off his outer shirt and do the mugshot T-shirt, has discovered that Jack Ruby was actually another room. He take it off and put it on into a
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia. at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Hey, Mitchell.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes. That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building. Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, we have our listener callers lined up already. One is from the chat room. Is Kyle Rittenhouse, Noah Posner, who is allegedly one of the deceased kids from Sandy Hook? Well, the answer to that is Noah Posner wasn't even Noah Posner. Noah Posner was a fiction made up of photographs of a person supposed to be his older stepbrother, Michael Vabner, who was already a teenager at the time. They used photographs of him to fake. Yeah, very good. Very good work, Giuseppe. Here you see Noah turning into Michael Vabner. I could not have asked for more, Giuseppe. Absolutely sensational. Vabner's long since graduated from college and got a job working in Connecticut. So, Kyle and Noah are completely different. Kyle's real and a good kid. Noah was a fiction and wasn't even the person he was displayed to be. We have a caller from the 281 area code, 281. Please give us your first name and your state and join the conversation, 281.
Yeah, hello, guys. I'm coming to you, okay?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay, great. Hey, Giuseppe, man, appreciate you calming everybody down. I know we have strong opinions on things, and I respect each and every one of you, and I just hate to see the thing break up. I know we get strong feelings, thanks for doing that.
In that moment, I became a barbiturate suppository for everyone.
Been joking about Maryland was taken out with a barbiturate suppository.
Only thing missing is the massage.
That's right.
This is Bruce in Texas, right?
Yep.
Bruce, did you want to add any further?
Yeah, real quick here, and then I'm going to have to go. Personally, to me, it seems like, you know, these are organic events, the shooting there, the Kenosha, the massacre, the vehicular massacre. At this point, I'll say that they seem to be organic. You know, like they actually happen. I think this guy may have been pushed from BLM handlers. You know what I mean? Propaganda. Have you ever noticed? Anytime it's a white guy that gets arrested for anything, these to the left, I mean, these to the right of Lenin, they pull all his computers, his social media, his phone, and they dump anything that can incriminate him as far as being a right-wing, you know, Nazi clan extremist, you know what I mean? But these lefties, they don't seem to release anything as far as their social media is concerned, you know? And BLM, to me, is handled, you know, by the deep state, by the FBI, what have you. They seem to be them and Nazis, but they seem to work arm in arm. So this guy may have been pushed into doing this. Revenge, you know, maybe It's the dummy that followed through.
I'd be surprised, Bruce. He appears to have done it on his own, but he is a BLM enthusiast. He's a member. He's a black nationalist. He was incensed by the Kyle Rittenhouse verdict. I would add, it's very interesting. Tucker did a lengthy interview with Kyle Rittenhouse. Very impressive for his age. He's about as mature as anyone I could imagine. I know adults who are 50 years older, not as mature as Kyle Rittenhouse at 18. So that's a worthwhile interview. Let's see, Russ, would you like to add anything to what Bruce has had to say here?
Well, if you know, it went down that way, where it was, I guess, a quasi-real event, then I definitely believe that some of these guys are pushed into it, this part of the COINTELPRO. And
right.
I think they have ways of getting people to go off the rails and do unusual things. That's a legitimate theory.
Yes, Scorpio, yeah, do you want
I'm going to jump out. Thank you. I have to go.
Okay, thanks, Bruce. Thanks for calling. We got another caller from the 512 area code. Caller, please give us your first name, your state, and join the conversation.
Hi. My name is Robert. I'm from Texas.
Okay, Robert. Good. Join us. Yes.
Robert Phoenix.
Go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call, Jen. So I wanted to bring up a couple of points about the Rittenhouse thing. So first of all, you're absolutely right. He's not Michael. He's not Noah. I did a pretty deep dive on Kyle Rittenhouse and his family connections, and they all exist. Like, those things are real. Like, she's got a real mother. He's got a real dad. And actually growing up in kind of difficult circumstances, broken family, drug addiction. So he had to grow up very quickly. He had to become pretty mature. For me, where it gets really weird with the Rittenhouse event is, and I stayed up that night and I was watching the live stream when it was happening, and it really got my attention. But what really teases a number of questions out of me is the fact that Tucker Carlson had his producer follow Kyle Rittenhouse around all day. Like, there was it was like the building of a character arc in a story or a TV show or a movie, you know, and they showed him taking graffiti off the wall. They showed him walking around, you know, trying to help people out, you know, medically, right? So they build this case for Kyle Rittenhouse to be this young, upstanding guy, and maybe he is. But then it all kind of goes south, right? You see the whole Rosenbaum thing. And by the way, during the live stream, you could actually see Rosenbaum light the dumpster on fire. So there's a character arc for Rosenbaum as well. And there's a good guy and there's a bad guy. Clearly that's being established. And then it goes down and you see Rosenbaum chase Kyle Rittenhouse between those two cars. And then it gets really weird because that's where Tucker Carlson's producer is. He's between those two cars. And he comes on to Tucker Carlson the day after and basically says that he applied pressure to Rosenbaum's wounds so he wouldn't bleed out. And you hear two shots during that kind of strange moment in time between the two cars. And you don't really see any muzzle flashes, which I think is interesting. So there's either a flash suppressor or something else is going on. You do see something coming out from behind the chain link fence, but that could be kind of a Las Vegas effect and a strobe. I'm not sure what that is, but there are two shots. And then you see Kyle Rittenhouse run down the street and cry out for the police or whatever. And that's when the next part of this story unfolds. But there's something that takes place between those two vehicles that's highly unusual. And the other thing, and maybe Kyle is really adept at using that firearm, but he handled that firearm like a trained professional. And a lot of those shots were made under duress and pressure. And if you don't know how to handle a firearm and you don't know how to handle them under duress or pressure, it can go extremely wrong. So I have questions about that narrative. I don't have questions about Kyle Rittenhouse. I have questions about that narrative. I also have questions about the trial. And there are some very strange anomalies about the trial. And they televised that trial so that people could actually watch it. And you can see all these gaps and all these errors, and you could pick sides. There's weird pixelation moments. with the trial. There's the guy who steps into the green screen. Like, there's strange things happening there. And then right on the heels of that, you have the Waukesha event, which I'm still trying to sort out in terms of what's real and what's not real. Because clearly, I think Russ makes a case that there's some questions that we need to ask about it. There's also some footage which says, well, that's, you know, looks like from above the guy's driving through the crowd. And clearly, there are people who know people who have had some kind of damage, injury, or even death there. But there's a lot of strange questions, like, why would the guy back the car into the driveway? It's kind of like, Jim, you might be able to comment on this, how easy it was for Lee Harvey Oswald to be tracked and traced after the Kennedy assassination. Am I right? I mean, there's something there that connects the two events, and that anybody with any kind of real smarts or intelligence, or in the case of maybe Lee Harvey Oswald, might do something completely different and may not give himself up so quickly by being that available in that moment. So there are some strange things about Waukesha. And
the backing into the driveway was something I really picked up on. I thought that was really strange that he would present, would hide his car that way.
It was very strange, very, very strange. And they seem to be going 1-2 with COVID mask vaccine and then these racial conflicts, right? They kind of stack them. So when the energy runs out of one, they stack up the other one and get that ready to go. Because you can see that happening when the whole George Floyd thing happened, because people were done. They were running out of patience, and they started to protest the whole COVID thing. You can see cars going by state capitals and hospitals and blowing their horns. And then George Floyd happens. And then we have a whole new thing that comes out of that. So it seems like these things sort of happen in unison. They'll play one angle to get energy out of that one angle. And when that dissipates, they'll play the other angle. And now you've got the Ahmaud Arbery trial, which is happening. And that's a very weird event, too. And you guys should take a really good look at the Ahmaud Arbery footage at some point in time and do a deep dive on that. So I'm going to tap out here and let you guys just, you know, have some commentary about what I said.
Well, you've raised a number of very interesting points, Robert. Who are you saying is Tucker's producer, the Richard McGinnis who is following them? He was some kind of photojournalist. Is that who you're talking about?
Yeah, he's a producer for BuzzFeed, which is Tucker Carlson's website.
Is Tucker's producer.
Yeah, for BuzzFeed, that is Tucker Carlson's website. So he was there, if I'm not mistaken, he was representing BuzzFeed during the Kenosha event.
Well, that's very curious.
He's right there. He's right there when the Rosenbaum Rittenhouse event takes place between those two cars.
I hear you. Now, if they were following Kyle the whole time, that's very odd to me and disturbing. Let me add that green screen thing. I think it's because they were only allowed a few cameras and they had to improvise. And that I don't think the green screen is significant myself at all. The whole trial appears to have been completely legit. The prosecutors made any number of mistakes, but that's because they were so eager to convict when they didn't have any evidence, because he'd actually done nothing wrong. But I find all your comments extremely interesting. Scorpio, would you like to pick
Hey,
up
can
on
I jump
Robert
in for one quick
to...
second? Break, break.
Yeah, do just
breaking
second.
News.
Yeah.
Travis McMichael, who shot the jogger Ahmaud Arbery dead, found guilty on all 9 counts.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. He's got 3 rednecks who got a little carried away and didn't know what they were doing. That's fascinating, Giuseppe. Very good. Yeah. And I think that helps to balance things out, because there you got 3 guys who got carried away and killed the black man. I think all this does not support the Democrat narrative, and they're not going to be happy about any of these. Robert, we got a couple other callers, so I want to thank you. I think you made some really, really interesting points. Michael from North Carolina. Michael, my friend, delighted to have you here. Please give us your thoughts.
That's North Kakalaki to you and Blackbird.
Right?
Yeah, I've heard you say several times, Jim, that it was not actually Jack Ruby who performed the shooting that was televised.
Right.
And what I'd like for you to do is quickly tell us what the source and the exact evidence that you've seen or heard that convinced you that that was the case.
Oh, it's Ralph Sinkay. This wasn't my brainchild. I was kind of astonished. I thought Ralph had to be wrong about it, but we put him on the new JFK show. We did two or three different shows about it. He's got blogs about it. Go to the Oswald Innocence campaign. I'm convinced he's right about it. It was an FBI agent by the name of James Bookout. He had a different cut of the hair. Ruby kind of had an irregular with some hair coming down. Bookout had a real straight cut across. That Ruby, who never remembered having shot Oswald for the good reason that he didn't shoot Oswald, was actually taken into a separate room before the event, and they stripped off his clothing to put it on Bookout. But Ralph, this is just a brilliant piece of work, totally out of left field. You wouldn't see it coming. But if you go to the Oswald Innocence campaign or look up Ralph Sinkay, C-I-N-Q-U-E, or even the new JFK show, and talk about Ruby Bookout, B-O-O-K, maybe H-O-U-T. He nailed it. I'm utterly convinced. I mean, it's absolutely fascinating in how many pieces he puts together, Michael. This is good stuff.
I'll have to check that out. The only evidence that you just mentioned was the cut of the hair, and the rest was what you have heard other people say about taking into a room and all that. So I'd like to know what the exact evidence trail is on that.
Ralph is very meticulous about this, Michael. You won't be disappointed. He's got this one. Did you have another question, or was that it?
No, that's it. I got to go walk dogs.
Okay, I'm glad you called, Michael. See you later.
Okay,
Mayor, also here. Mayor, go ahead. Give us your thoughts.
Yeah, first thing, Jack Ruby's name is Jacob Rubenstein, and he made Aliyah, but
all of
that is so much fake. I don't know if anybody bothered to watch the My God, I'm Hit, but it's well worth it. Turns every other theory on its head. Jim Mars at a reenactment there in Dealey Plaza in Dallas said when a guy came out in the middle of the street and fired a .45, he didn't know what was going on until he saw this. Then it makes sense. But you really have to just watch it yourself and think what you want. But Robert Raybould, on his show Sunday night, had brought up the green screen.
Mur, I'm a little lost. Are you talking about Jack being shot, or are you talking about Oswald being shot?
None of them.
Talking about John F. Kennedy being shot, the assassination on
he wasn't. He was abducted. But you have to see this for yourself. Now, you're really good on catching these false flag things and staged events, Jim. So you really have to clear your mind of previous thoughts and
was dead. He was dead in Dealey Plaza. There was no discoloration of the face. That meant he died instantly. Thomas Evan Robbins.
This is the film that was shown to us 12 years later.
Mayor, you've introduced the idea. That's fine. Let's go to whatever I have to say.
Yeah, all right. I just wanted to say, too, Robert Raybould on his Sunday night show on Republic Broadcasting introduced this green screen thing, and I haven't really researched it a whole lot, but Mike Gatti has said he thinks, having worked PSYOPs, that the trial, the acquittal for Kyle, is a gimme for the right. Okay, so they get one. Look what they did to the Charlottesville people.
Hello.
$6 million in damages. And the last thing is the, can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, the last thing was, have you seen a murder vehicle? It was a very expensively done crappy rap video that this killer did. Now, when I was first looking at his stuff, we were looking at the Daily Mail stuff, and they make it look like it was the fall. They've got garland, and they've got strollers, and they've got candy circled on the street as part of the evidence. And then their MP4 of the vehicle stops right before it gets to the people. Well, I found another on Jim Stone, and I posted it in the chats, and I can do it again or send it to you. But it shows the vehicle continuing, and it does run over people.
Yeah, of course it does.
I haven't seen that. I'm looking for that. I pulled everything I could off of Twitter that I could find, and it seemed like they just stopped. So I'd like.
Is this Ross?
Yes.
How can I send to you? Is your email somewhere, or do you want it? I mean,
you can find my email. My email's on my site. It's admin at WonderWatch.
Okay, well, I'll send what I found to you, all of you.
Super.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Good. Thanks, everybody. We got Miles from Maine. Okay, Miles from Maine, join the conversation. Miles.
Hi, Uncle Fetzer. You know, I'm a big fan of yours, but this Arbery case, I don't see how that helps anybody in any way. It's a disaster. I mean, you can't have a guy with a criminal record a mile long charging anybody who has a firearm. That just can't be accepted when you have a firearm there. I mean, they weren't aggressive with the firearm until the guy charged them, and it should not be convicted of murder. Maybe negligent homicide, maybe aggravated assault, or some other things might have been a better charge. But this resolves nothing. If anything, it gives ammunition to, so to speak, the BLM and Antifa and all these groups to go ahead and attack a person, attack a police officer, attack anybody.
Yeah, these are fair comments. And when Giuseppe made the report, look, my knowledge of the Aubrey case is rather superficial. I mean, I've looked in the other cases in great detail, but not the Aubrey, where it just seemed as though these three guys got carried away with doing a citizen's arrest. But I agree with you 100%. If there's no first degree element to this, manslaughter or reckless endangerment, those all would appear to be legit. Giuseppe, let me go back to you on this. Your comments?
The charges.
Yeah,
this was a rigged trial from moment one. I mean, clearly
Absolutely.
The jogger Arbery deserved to be taken down. He had a weapon. He was there trying to steal things. He came at these good old boys, and they took care of business. But of course, in neoliberal Georgia, that's not going to wash anymore. Even though it should have washed easily. Again, it was basically self-defense, and so ridiculous.
Yeah,
but of course,
that's what I see too, Giuseppe. Every time. You know, this is like the Second Amendment issues. Every time the NRA wants to give, oh, we'll just negotiate this away and that away. Well, we're negotiating these things away. And to the point to where it's going to make it common where any thug comes out here and attacks the police, or, you know, somebody has a firearm, you know, and they go on the attack with somebody with a firearm and get, you know, what they deservedly probably should get if you're trying to take a firearm from somebody.
Because we obviously haven't done it justice here, and I think your questions and concerns are well founded. So I'm very glad you called in, Miles.
Well, thank you, Uncle Fetzer, and it's great to hear you and all the fantastic work you've always done as an investigator, as investigative journalist. But I had one question for Giuseppe that kind of I heard him comment on last week. It doesn't relate to this at all, but it was about the differences in vitamin C and ascorbic acid. And from what I understand, Giuseppe, you don't think ascorbic acid is very good. But I was wondering if it's a ascorbic acid complex with, say, quercetin and bioreutin and things like that, is that any better?
Oh, absolutely. The closer you get to the actual food-based bioavailable molecule, the better it is. Yeah, I mean, basic petroleum distillate ascorbic acid is not worth taking. But yeah, I mean, like there's plenty of great products. Vitamin C with rose hips and all that, or even better is when you can get something right. That's like dehydrated oranges or dehydrated blend with like red pepper that maintains all those other bioavailable cofactors. Because otherwise, literally, if you just take like Walgreens or Walmart brand ascorbic acid, you're putting something in the body it can't use. It has to strip away a positive hydrogen ion from the stomach lining to make it usable. So, I mean, that was my key point. Yeah.
Yeah, because I saw this blend that had ascorbic acid, but it also had lysine, bioflavonoids, rhodes hips, and it was a combination. So
there you go. That's
I was
good
hoping
stuff.
That.
Yeah.
Well, hey, thanks, great Bob. Talking to you guys. Just keep up the good work, Giuseppe and Fetzer. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Mom. Justice 248 area code. Give us your name and your state and give us a comment. 248. Are you there? I'm sorry, I missed you before. 518, are you there?
Yep, I'm here. I just wanted to quickly mention, when it comes to these false flags and that, I don't think they have the flag that they did before. And this whole Aubrey case, like that guy mentioned, you know, it's helping out the BLM a little bit, but that's their grasping at straws. If they try to do false flags and that, I mean, it's pretty much done to these people. Like, in my opinion, I'm seeing it, like, it's not going to work out well for them. Like, they're just going to get aggression out, and that's it.
Good. Well, let me just say, since we're almost to the end, how much we appreciate having Russ Winder here. And if we occasionally have a different of opinion, it does not imply any lack of respect. Russ is doing a great job. Winter Watch, I highly recommend. Giuseppe, would you like to make a final comment as we close the show?
Yeah, I would like to thank Russ, Jim, Scorpio. We're dealing with amazing times and amazing information, and if we occasionally get heated up, that's just what men and adults do. We talked it out, and Russ will be back, and if not, Russ is going to challenge you to a cage match, Jim.
you got it.
Don't forget to wear pants.
Good work, and Scorpio, I'm glad you could join us for the show.
Yeah, it was excellent. And there is some strange things about the video with the Arbery case too, so you might want to check that out.
Yes, I agree. You need to be skeptical of all these monsters. I want to...
Listening to Revolution Radio.
Como va? This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect, Triangle. Live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict.